right after that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you that you. Great. Excellent. Well, glad to be able to study God's word with you here this morning. And if we haven't had the chance to meet yet, my name is Daniel, the pastor here. And we're in this series called A Summer of Sharing, where we're learning about how to share really the most important thing in the world, right? The most important message, the thing that can bring healing to every single human being, every heart, every child, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl on this planet, in the United States of America, in China, in Kenya, in Uganda, in Russia, in Europe, in Indonesia, where snakes apparently eat people whole. And like, no matter where you are, this is the most important message in the world, in the universe. And how do we go about sharing that? And so we've set a goal, and again, not in a forceful way, okay? But how do we have these gospel conversations, conversations that are normal, right? You have a conversation every day, right? Where you talk about the weather, you talk about sports, we talk about all sorts of things. And how do we have a gospel conversation? We've set a goal for ourselves for 1,000 conversations, right? And between now and the end of the year, at December, we want to be able to have and saturate our community with 1,000 gospel conversations. And that requires each of us having about really one conversation a month. That doesn't seem too big, does it? All of a sudden, 1,000 seems like a lot. But if each person here at Plaza took this seriously and said, man, I'm going to let my life be used by God, and I'm going to have a gospel conversation, and I'm open to that, God, and use me. And imagine how that could change our community. And so we'd love for you to be sharing that, right? And again, the focus is on conversations, not upon just like grabbing somebody off the street. Hey, you, come here. I know you're going somewhere. Get back over here. Let me tell you about Jesus, right? That's not what we're talking about, okay? We're talking about relationship building. And maybe for you, and I've heard some people say this, right? I don't know a whole lot of non-Christians. Well, then your prayer needs to be, God, show me some non-Christians I can now begin building a relationship with, amen? God, show them to me so that I can begin to build that with them so that I can bless them. And so, and we get to know them and then share a summer of sharing. And so we've got some different ways for you to be able to share this. You can share it on your connection card. I know some of you have already had some gospel conversations. We've heard the feedback already, and it's been awesome. And so you could write that down even now as you're thinking about that. Also, you notice probably on the table out here, and as you leave, there are these are vinyl stickers that one of our men made for us. And they're kind of helping us see the logos, a picture of bringing people to the cross. And you can, I think we got a picture for that. Is that right? Okay. So what you can put your name on it. Just putting three things. Your name on it, right? Your name. Everybody know your name? Shake your head. Yes, I know my name today. It's a good day. All right. Not sure if I know my name tomorrow. All right. You can put the date that you had this conversation. And then you can put whether it was a red light, a yellow light, a green light conversation. You say, Pastor, I don't know what that means. Well, if you had a gospel conversation with somebody and share with them the gospel and they give you a red light, they're saying, I don't want to hear anything about that. That's a red light, right? If you shared the gospel with them and they're like, hey, you know what? I hear what you're saying, but I'm really not ready to make that kind of decision. I'm not ready to follow Christ right now. That's a yellow light, right? They're just saying slow down, and that's a yellow light. Or it's a green light. They're saying, man, I've been wondering about that. I've waited my entire life for somebody to tell me how to get to heaven, for somebody to tell me how I can have peace. Somebody can tell me that God loves my sins, can really be forgiven, every one of my sins. God would love me. Yeah, how do I do that? How do I pray right now? That's a green light, right? And so you would just put those three things on there. There's some markers in the back. We'd encourage you to do that. And then during the week, we're going to have some folks, as these conversations continue to go, we'll put those up just as a visual reminder of what God is doing. Amen. And so as we're preparing this summer of sharing, I was thinking about this, and there are a number of people in my life that I am sharing the gospel with and working on building that relationship. And I was thinking about this as we think about success. In fact, that's the title of today's message, is success in sharing, or how to share successfully, right? And there's a guy I've been working with for a number of weeks. We work out together, we go running together, and so we're building this relationship. And I was thinking as I was getting ready to go for a run with him, I said, man, you know, is today going to be the day where I'm going to have this gospel conversation with him? And as I was thinking through that, and again, we're still kind of getting to know you. We're talking about movies, we're talking about life, we're talking about all kinds of stuff. And as I was processing, I noticed there was some fear in my heart. Right, and I was a little scared, right, to have this conversation with them, and I was like, man, Why am I scared to have this conversation with them? And I'm processed. You ever talk to yourself? Is there anybody in here or is it just me? Y'all look so spiritual today. Y'all are looking so good. Okay, good. All right. All right, we have counselors in the back for all the people that talk to themselves. And I'll be first in line. And so, but I was talking to myself and I'm like, why were you scared? And so I turned around and I said to myself, I said, man, I'm afraid he's going to say no. And the other part of me said, why are you afraid he's going to say no? Well, I don't like getting a red light. And I had to process that. Like, why am I afraid that he's going to say no? And that really got me to think about the definition of success, right? Because I would feel like a failure if he said no. But that's not really truly success, is it? In fact, there's an evangelist, Bill Fay. He wrote a book called Share Jesus Without Fear. We did a training here. In fact, I was looking back through our archives and our history here, and it's been since 2005, really, since we've done something like this. And so maybe that's why it's kind of, kind of rekindling some things for us, or it's new. But Bill Fay gave a definition of success like this. We're going to put this definition up there. He says this: success is living out my Christian faith, right? It's living out my Christian faith and sharing my story and God's story. That's the gospel. That's what success is, right? Okay, write that down. This is going to help you. Success is living out my Christian. That means being an authentic Christian, not being perfect, but I'm working towards it. I'm moving forward. I'm growing in Christ. I'm living out my Christian faith. And then sharing my story. How many of you know your own story, right? If you know your name, you know your story about how God has saved you and changed your life. And then you're sharing, how does that connect with God's story? That's the gospel. That's what success is. Success is not them saying yes. Success is not you having all the answers. Success is not you memorizing a spiel or a thing here so you can perform it correctly. Success is simply living out my Christian faith, sharing my story, and sharing God's story. Right? That's the gospel. That's what a picture of success is. So that's the definition. Let me see if I can illustrate it for you, right? I brought in here with me today some cookies, okay? And I happen to love cookies. I happen to love all types of cookies. I don't think I ever met a cookie I didn't like. And so let's say that you had come over to my house, right? And you were at my house, and we were there talking. Let's say it was Caitlin right here in front row, Caitlin Lockie. And Caitlin came over. She had to borrow some salt. She ran out of salt, and she wanted to borrow some salt. And she came in, and we were talking, and I had some cookies there. And I said, hey, Caitlin, would you like a cookie? And she goes, no, thanks. I'm healthy. I'm not like you, Pastor. Okay. Did I fail or succeed at sharing? I succeeded, right? Because sharing is really just offering her. Would you like a cookie? Some milk and cookies. All right. Would you like a cookie? That's all I'm doing. That's all that sharing the gospel really is. Would you like a cookie? And they may say yes or no. See how I messed with you? Were y'all paying attention? I'm making sure everybody's awake today, okay? And so that's what sharing really is. And I wouldn't get offended and be like, oh, she didn't want my cookies. No, right? It was just no offense. She didn't want a cookie. Whatever reasons in her heart she didn't want a cookie, it's no big deal. More cookies for me. Right, and so we don't have to be trapped by this sense of failure. I'm just gonna kind of munch on those as I'm preaching today, and for the people that don't fall asleep, I'm gonna just toss them out to you. But how do we share successfully? And so what I want to do is walk back through this text here, because we're here to again study God's word. I want to walk back through this text here and look at, okay, how do I share successfully? So number one, you can write this down. Go ahead and put down, I must realize that I have something to share. I must realize that I have something to share. See, most of us feel like we don't have anything to share. But as I said earlier, you have your story and you have God's story. And you have something valuable inside of you. If you are in this room and you're a Christian, there is something immensely valuable inside of you. You have something to share. Amen. But what happens is most of us minimize what we have. We minimize what we have. We become so focused or so overwhelmed about the great need. We see our scarcity and we minimize our supply. I think I'm trying to preach to y'all this morning. I don't know if y'all heard me. I said, we often just focus and overwhelm on our own scarcity while minimizing our supply. But we have a supply that is infinite, don't we? And so we focus on the wrong thing and we forget that we have something to share. It could be very possible. Listen to me now. It could be very possible that you are overlooking the very things that God has put inside of you that are worth sharing. Your struggles, the things you've been through that make up your personal story, your testimony, your salvation story. You could be overlooking those things that God wants to perform a miracle in. And maybe it's because you feel like these guys, the disciples in this passage here. And so let's look back at it and pick up with me back in verse 30. Notice what's happening here. We'll talk a little bit about the context. In verse 30, it says, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. What does that mean? Well, if you look earlier in that chapter of Mark, Jesus sent out the apostles two by two to go preach the gospel and heal people. And they were preaching the kingdom and saying, repent and believe, repent and believe. And so they went out and they were working and they were sharing the gospel. They were healing people and it was tiring. And they were doing a lot. In fact, if you look at the next verse, right, look at verse 31. Verse 31, and he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and do what? Rest a while. These guys are worn out because look what the rest of the verse says. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. You ever been working so hard you forgot to eat? That never happens to me. I'm just kidding. It has happened to me. No, I'm lying. I haven't forgotten to eat. I just didn't have the chance to eat. And I pushed through it by God's grace. It was a miracle, really. But listen, these guys are worn out. They haven't even had a chance to eat. They're preaching and they're healing and preaching and healing. And Jesus says, look, you guys got to come away and rest for a little while. So they're worn out and they're thinking, we're empty. We don't have anything left in us to share. How many of you felt that way before, right? You just feel like, I'm so sick and tired of being sick and tired, right? And I'm so empty, there's no way I could give to anybody else. I don't have anything in me. But oh, when you know that as a believer, you've got the Holy Spirit in you, you've got the bread of life in you, as Jesus said, those who believe in me, rivers of living water will flow out of them. You have something to share, amen? And so maybe they're worn out physically, emotionally, but that's not all. When you also look at the context here in your Bible, if you're looking at it, you can see that earlier on, John the Baptist, Jesus's cousin and the prophet that was announcing Jesus' return was executed. Not just executed, but beheaded. And so this is carrying weight perhaps on the apostles and upon Jesus. Man, John the Baptist just got beheaded. Like, this stuff we're doing carries consequences. This is a spiritual battle. This is war, and people's heads are getting lopped off. This is no joke. This is real. And so now they're carrying the weight of that physically, emotionally, and all the things they've been doing, ministering, they don't even have time to eat. And I bet they're feeling worn out, and they don't think they have something to share, but they do. Because often we are focused on our scarcity more than we're focused on our supply. And so look at the next verse and see what happens here. Verse 33 says this. Verse 32. We're in verse 32, right? Verse 32. And they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves, right? To try to get some rest. But then notice what happens. Verse 33. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot. The people were so hungry to be around Jesus and to hear the word of God. They ran on foot ahead of them from all the towns. And then verse 34, when they had went ashore, he, who's that he? Like, I'm not real sure. It's Jesus. When he saw a great crowd, he had compassion on them. The rest of those guys were worn out, right? He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Aren't you so grateful for Jesus and his perfections and his infinite ability to supply our needs? But then look what he says here. Verse 35, and when it grew late, his disciples came to him and they said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat. Oh, man, this is a desolate place. Send them away. How many times do we do that, right? I don't have anything left in me. I'm feeling like a desolate place to send those. But let somebody else do that. Let somebody else share with them. Let somebody else step up to the plate. Oh, but you have something to share, ma'am and sir. You have something worthwhile in you to share. But when we think about our scarcity and we forget and we minimize our supply, you know what? We tend to think it's not even worth mentioning, right? These guys had some supply with them. And they didn't even think it was mentioned. If you know the story, as Ms. Yvonne read it earlier, you know that they have 5 loaves and 2 fish. But they are minimizing that. And sometimes God just wants to do a miracle through the very thing that you think is so worthless. You think this is just so tiny. God couldn't use this. But no, God loves to use the things that we would count as worthless. Amen. And can I just speak to the dads here on Father's Day? If you're in here as a dad and sometimes you're just feeling like you fail or you don't do it well, you don't do it perfectly, and you look at all your insecurities, you look at all the mistakes you've made, can I tell you that, listen to me now, God is still able to use you. But what happens is when we feel like we're going to make mistakes or we feel like we might fail, we back away, right? We don't engage, right? I was at the park and with my kids and Sydney. Sydney's in here today, right? And Sydney's in here. Sydney loves to do the monkey bars. And there she is. She had to stand up and wave. She's not shy at all. And so Sydney loves to do the monkey bars. And in our old park, our old house, she would work on those monkey bars. And she was tall enough to be able to reach and grab them, but she couldn't. And she would try to jump up, and she couldn't do that, or she wouldn't do that, I should say, because she was afraid that she would grab it and fall. And so she would kind of do this. It was like, it was right here. You know, it was like easy for her to touch. And she would go like this. I can't do it, Dad. And she would do that. And then she would be like, help me. And so I would help her. You know, I'd kind of hold her waist, lift her up, and she would grab it. And then I would have her try it on a lower one. I was like, go to the lower one and just hang on it so you can get your grip. And so she would hang on it and grab it. And she knew she could do it. She could do it easy. And she would hang there all day like, yay, I could do this. But then when it got to that other one, she wasn't even trying. I mean, you know, sometimes we just don't even try because we think we might fail, amen? But you have something to share, and success is simply sharing. It's not getting another person to agree with you. It's not this false idea of success. It's simply sharing your story, what God has done in your life, and it's sharing God's story. It's being faithful to live out your Christian life. And so the enemy wants you to forget or to minimize. He wants you to despise what God has given you, right? Because if you despise it, you won't use it, amen? He has a plan. Okay? The enemy has a plan against you. And if he can keep you quiet and he can keep you from helping somebody else find life and freedom and forgiveness, he'll do that. And you're so afraid to do that, but you have the keys right there in your pocket. But the enemy is working. Let me tell you, the gifts you have are from God. Those are good things, right? The people that God gave you in your life, that is something that God has given you. Okay, the time that God gave you, the ideas that God puts in your heart, the season that you're in right now, don't despise those things. You're like, well, I'm not able to do it because I'm too young. I'm not able to do it because I'm too old, or I don't know enough. And God has you right where you are, and it's perfect. Look at verse 37. I love what Jesus says. We were in verse 36, right? Actually, let's keep reading verse 36. He says, send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat. But then look what Jesus says to them. But Jesus answered them, you give them something to eat. Don't you love Jesus? You're like, no, not when he tells me stuff like that. Right? You give them something to eat. Well, wait, you're Jesus. Why don't you do it? God has called us to participate with him. God has given us the privilege to participate in the greatest mission ever. And he allows us. And he says, you take part in this. And then notice their response, right? Look at what they say. Says this, and they said to him, shall we go buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? That's about 8 to 10 months worth of wages. They're saying, we don't have that kind of supply. And Jesus says, you don't even know who's in your midst, right? You don't even know who's in your midst. We don't have that. We don't have anything to share with these people. Send them away. And sometimes Christians, can I just be truthful with you? Sometimes we're guilty of sending non-believers away. And we got to be careful because, and I know there are kids in here, all right? But we would never tell anybody to go to hell and say, I want you to go to hell, right? No Christian probably would ever say that in public, right? I know you wanted to say that to somebody when you were driving, okay? But just keep that between you and the Lord for now, okay? But you wouldn't really say that. But sometimes we say that. Send them away. Send them away. How many people have we sent away who are hungering for the gospel? Well, Pastor, our world is different and people aren't hungry for the... Jesus said the fields are ripe. The fields are white for harvest. Are we going to argue with Jesus and say, no, things have changed? I realize things have changed, yes. But that doesn't mean that God still isn't working in people's lives. He's still working in every street here in our city. He's working in every street in our nation and every street in the world. God is working. The fields are ripe for harvest, but the laborers are few. And so don't despise what God has given you. And so they don't even discount what they have. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 9 says this. This account appears in all four Gospels, and John says it like this in chapter 6, verse 9. He says, "There is a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish." And then the disciples say, "But what are they for so many?" In other words, what we have doesn't even count. It can't meet the need. And I'm sure that's what they were thinking. And maybe that's what you're thinking. There's no way little old me could do anything. Well, I'm here to tell you that is the devil lying to you. And he has a plan that if he can keep you quiet and think you don't have anything worthwhile to share, you don't have a purpose, you couldn't make a difference, that's a lie from the devil. Amen. And if I were your enemy, right? And if I knew that I couldn't take what you have because the Holy Spirit is in every believer and the devil can't take that. The devil can't steal your joy because he didn't give it. Okay, but if I knew I couldn't take those things from you, you know what I would do? I would get you to think that they are so little, they're not even worth using. Just sit there and be quiet. And so people come to church week after week after week after month after month after year, and we stay in our deficiency all because we don't realize that what we have is actually worth something. Amen? And reach over, touch your neighbor, and tell them, "I have something." Reach over, tell them, "I have something." And then tell them this, "I have something worth sharing." Tell them, "I have something worth sharing." Now, I'm going to have you keep talking to them. Go ahead and look at them. Go ahead and look at them. And go ahead. Everybody can find somebody, all right? And if you got to look long distance, just, you know, you can eyeball them and tell them like this. Say, "Neighbor, my gift is something. My life is something. My praise is something. My voice is something. I've got something to share." That is the truth. Amen. We've got something to share. And too long, we're comparing our lack or our fears or our insecurities with a great demand. And we're forgetting that when God is in it, great things are going to happen. Amen. And so look with me as we continue through this verse here. Verse 38. Verse 38, it says this. "And when he said to them, 'How many loaves,'" notice what he says, "'do you have?'" He's like, take an account. Think through the things that you have. And every believer has things that God has placed in you. You have gifts. You have abilities. You have the Holy Spirit he's placed in. He says, "What do you have? Go and see." And I believe God is calling us to go and see God. What is inside of me that God can use? And don't listen to the world. Don't try to be like me. Heavens knows, don't try to be like me, just like me. I mean, hey, follow me as I'm following Christ. I'll say that. But don't try to be just like me. God didn't wire you to be just like me. That's not the way he made you. Be the you that he made you to be, because that's enough. Amen. And so look, what is your bread and fish? Amen. Can I ask you that? Can I get you to think about that? Maybe that's a question you want to write down. What is my bread and fish? What is the bread and fish that I have? What are the things that God has given me? And stop focusing on the lack and start focusing on what God has provided you. Amen. And watch how things change. Now, can I tell you this? Now, some preachers and some Bible teachers, if you want to call them that, try to mess around with all kinds of stuff and do terrible, terrible Bible teaching. And they try to do stuff with numbers. And they'll count like every other letter and every other word. And they'll be like, you know, Satan is coming back on, you know, 2020 or something like that. And people do all kinds of weird stuff with Bible numerology. And so I'm cautioning you against that. But just go with me a little bit here. How many loaves did they have? How many loaves did they have? What did it say? 5 loaves and how many fishes? 2. 5 and 2. Let's do some math here. 5 plus 2 is 7. Okay, now again, I'm not trying to get all weird with Bible, so just hang with me. Just wonder. I wonder if God is trying to tell us here, because 7 in the Bible, not a weird numerology thing, but 7 in the Bible always does represent completion or perfection. I wonder if God is helping us to remember that what you already have in your possession is perfect for you. Amen. I wonder if what he's trying to say is the gifts I've given you is complete in me. Not in your own. I'm not trying to say in your own strength, but in Christ. What God has given you is perfect. Stop looking at the other people around you. Stop looking at your sister or your brother or your parents or your kids and saying, I don't have what it takes. No, I have something to share. Amen. It may be small, okay, but it's not. It's not, because when the Lord blesses it, five and two is able to fill multitudes, amen? It's not about how well I can speak or how educated I am. It's not even my assumption of myself. It's about the power of God working in me, and so I have something to share, amen? Might not be much, but I've got something, amen? Go ahead and look with me again at this verse 38, and then we'll move on to our next point. He says this, verse 38. He says, and he said to them, what do you have? Go and see. So I want you to think about, let's get looking at what God has given you. You have something to share. And just at a very minimum, right, at a very minimum, you have three very powerful things, right? Every believer, the Bible says, is filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit is in you, and that is the most powerful force in the world, dwelling in me and you. Every believer, whoever you are, filled with the Holy Spirit, the most powerful force in the world. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Is that powerful? The same Holy Spirit that God was using as he created all the universe and spoke it into existence is living inside of you and me. The same Holy Spirit that guided people to write the word of Scripture, that has access to the mind of God, that can answer every question, the same teacher is inside of you and me. That's a great gift, right? That's inside of every believer. The second thing that you have inside of you, right? You know the gospel. If you're a believer, you know the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection. You have, as I said earlier, God's story. And do you know what? The gospel is the most powerful story. It's the greatest story ever told. Romans 1:16 says, it is the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it, the gospel, is the power unto salvation for all who believe. It's the sharing of the gospel, not our abilities, not our techniques, but it's the gospel. So you have the most powerful force in you. You have the greatest and most powerful story to tell. Not just a story, but a life-changing story. And then thirdly, you have your story, right? We talked about that earlier. You have your own personal story about how God has changed your life. We like to call that the second greatest story ever told, amen? God's story is the first. Your story is the second. You have those three things. I'm not even counting the thousands of other things that God has blessed you with, right? You've got some hands, right? Right? Everybody got hands? Some of you? You got some hands, right? Those are hands to love and to bless others, okay? I mean, think about myriads and myriads of blessings that God has given you. You have something to share, amen? Number two, you can write this down. I must give what I have. I must give what I have. So the first step is realizing that I have something worth sharing, and then the second step is actually giving that thing or sharing it, but sharing what you have, not worried about what somebody else has. Okay, see, that's the next temptation, is to think it's not enough, it won't work, it's not right. But I'm here to let you know that, listen, okay, what you have only grows when you give it up. What you have only prospers when you put it in the hand of Jesus. Okay, if you want to see someone get saved, you and I have got to speak up, amen? If we want to see the gospel spread, you've got to surrender your desires, your comfort. It will only blow up when we put it down. But see, shame comes in so many small ways, and we get afraid and we get shameful about our own inadequacies and our own insecurities. I'm not a real Christian. I'm not strong enough. I'm not intelligent enough. I'm not enough. I'm not a good enough mom. I'm not a real dad, right? And it's amazing how frequently that can change, right? You know, sometimes depending, it can change in just an instant, right? So sometimes I can feel like a good dad. And so on Thursdays, we have daddy day, and I'll take my kids. You know, we'll go to the swimming pool, we'll do some errands, we'll mow the yard, we'll fold some laundry, we'll go to the park, we'll ride bikes, we'll do some stuff. And sometimes I can be feeling like a great dad, and it could just be in one afternoon, I'm feeling good, man. I got my kids, we know how to do stuff, mom gets a break, and everything is going great, you know. But then it could happen that in a heartbeat, things could change, like it changed just yesterday. It wasn't Thursday, but it was the day I was with my kids, and I was trying to get them in the car to go visit our in-laws who were in an assisted living facility. And Liam, my one and only son, decides he is going to have a nuclear meltdown. Okay, not a mini meltdown, an atomic explosive meltdown about getting in the car seat. Okay, like World War III over getting in what car seat? And so, of course, my neighbor's out there, too. So you know that makes me feel worse. And this is a neighbor I've been trying to get to know and all this sort of stuff. And so Liam is like out in the yard and he's like, you know, first it starts off with a little cry and then it turns into this like tantrum and like falling down. And then I'm like, get in the car, boy, get in the car for it. We'll be right here in front of this neighbor. Okay. And just pray he don't call the police on me. And so he gets in the car. Right. And then I'm getting him in the car and like, he doesn't want to put on his seatbelt. And so he is like, and then I'm kidding. It's like demonic possession. Right. And there are voices and sounds coming out of him at decibels. And I'm just thinking the whole time, my neighbor's watching me. And I'm going to kill this kid right here. And I'm just like, oh. And he's just like screaming, no, no, I got in the chair. And he's just having a meltdown. So finally, I held him down, able enough, and I controlled myself because I really wanted to hurt a child. And I clicked him and secured him in that seat. And then I just left the car. Now, listen, it wasn't like 100 degrees out. The other kids were in the car. The AC was on. Okay, I'm not trying to punish the kid. Like, leave a baby in the car. That's not what I was doing. Okay, I just had to step away from the situation. You know what I'm saying? And so I wouldn't do anything crazy like that. Sweat it out, boy. See if you do that again. Okay. It's not. I mean, I thought that, but I didn't do that. Okay. But what I'm saying is, man, I felt so ashamed. I'm like, I'm supposed to be a good dad. I'm supposed to be dad dad. My kids are supposed to love and respect and obey me. And I can't get a four-year-old to get in the car seat. Failure as a dad. Where it was like an hour later, I'm feeling great as a dad. And you see how it can like just change like that. And we can let shame. And we can let little things. How many times we let little things? Oh, I didn't make it to church on time. Oh, I'm a terrible Christian. Oh, I didn't go to my community group. I didn't do this. I didn't read my Bible. I'm just a terrible Christian. And God has got you so focused on your insecurities instead of on his abilities and knowing that you have something worth sharing and you can give it to the Lord and he will use it and multiply it. Amen. And so don't let shame just beat you down. And so look back with me at verse 38, because I know we start to get all crazy about stuff, right? Verse 38, it says this. And he said to them, how many loaves, again, let's look at that word there, do you have, right? God's not asking you about your neighbor, is he? He's not asking you about the other people in your community group. But this is what happens. We're like, oh, these are my chips, and I could share them. But then you're like, Oh, Angela, look at Angela, look at her chips. Oh, man, she's got a different kind than I got. Or look at Dan's chips. Or look at Pastor Caleb's. Look at Tony. Oh, he's got chunky. Mine are only chewy. Man, his are so much better than mine. People, if only I had the chunky chips. But Jesus is saying, okay, look, how many loaves do you have? How many loaves do you have? Not them. Oh, man, look, some of them, they got peanut butter. They got Nutter butter, right? I got these in the plastic here because Lord knows somebody might have some allergies and kill somebody in church. And, they got peanut butter. Everybody loves peanut butter. Pastor Mackey loves peanut butter. The people with the peanut butter cookies are so much better, right? And we're so focused on that it's like, oh, what I got is just, I'm just going to hide mine, right? I'm just going to hide mine. I don't have anything good going on here. No, God says, just give what you have. Just offer what you have. Because he didn't give it to you by accident. There's an old song, right? There's an old song called Little is Much When God is in It, right? Maybe you know that song, and I can go old, I can go new, but I just want to share some of the verses with it. Little is Much When God is in It says this. And notice how it's related to sharing the gospel. It says, in the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for only some to do. No, for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you do what? If you go in Jesus' name, but the going has to be there. And then the third verse says this, in the mad rush of the Broadway and the hurry and in the strife, tell of Jesus' love and mercy. Give to them what? The word of life. And brothers and sisters, you have within you the word of life, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? But it only grows when you give it. It only prospers when you put it in the hand of Jesus. People only get saved if we speak up. And so let's go on to the next point, and this will be our closing point. And I want to share with this. Number one, I must realize I have something to share. Number two, I must give what I have. And then number three is this. I must trust God to bless what I share. I must trust God to bless what I have to share. Amen. I've got to trust Him. I put it in His hands. It doesn't depend on me. We're not exalting ourselves. Amen. But only because these disciples put it in the hands of Jesus that it multiplied. It took those five loaves and those two fish, and they put it in the hands of Jesus. And when you and I trust Christ with our story and His story and sharing the gospel, we can see the miracle of salvation happen in people's lives. I love what the Apostle Paul said, right? People were comparing in the early church different leaders within the church. But Paul, who's probably the greatest preacher of that time, comes in 1 Corinthians 3:6, and he says this, I planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the growth? God gives the growth. And so we trust Him. We trust Him to do what's right. And I want to just kind of go back to one verse here. Guys, if you'll go back one verse, I want to share with them 2 Corinthians 4:5-7. It's on the other point. But I want to get ready to close with this. Appreciate you guys bringing that out. But notice what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:5-7. It says this. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but is what? Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for His sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown where? Has shown in our hearts. Did you get that picture? See what he's alluding to? God, who created the heavens and the earth, is saying, let light shine out of darkness, has now shown that same power, that same light in our hearts. And he's saying, that is inside of us. And then it says, notice the benefit. What happens? That enables us to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then he says this, verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. Amen. We have a treasure in jars of clay inside of us to show that the surpassing power belongs to who? To God and not to us. But it will never, you'll never experience that until you trust God, until you give it away, until you try it. For those of you who have never shared the gospel with somebody, you're never going to learn the power and the freedom until you step out in faith and actually do it. And you can't fail if you simply share your story in God's story. You can't fail. The only way you can fail is if we sit silently, amen? And so, John, I want us to go to the last screen. Because of time, I just want us to look at this tool that we've been giving folks here. In the three circles, updated one, go ahead and go to that last one there as we talk about the three circles. Because and there are little pamphlets around if you're just joining us this week. But this is, again, a simple tool we're using to be able to tell our story and God's story. It starts with God's design up there in the top left. God's design is perfect. He created this world to be perfect. But we have wandered, right? The Bible calls that sin. We have disobeyed God, and that has led us into a world filled with what? Brokenness. You guys are starting to get this. You're beginning to get familiar with it. And we try to escape brokenness with all those little squiggly lines, but it never works, right? We can try a relationship. You can try money. You can try religion. You can try all kinds of things, but it doesn't allow us to escape that brokenness. Everybody is stuck in it. But we know a change needs to happen. We just don't know how to change it. But God has given us what? Good news. And He's provided a way out of brokenness. And the Greek word for good news is the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see those arrows there? That down arrow reminds us that Jesus came down from heaven as God's perfect Son. Then on that cross there, He went to the cross to pay for my sins. On the cross, He took upon Him all the brokenness of the world. And then He rose again on the third day to bring us back into a right relationship with ourselves. And if we would do two things, if we would turn from our sin, repent, okay, and believe in the gospel and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the Holy Spirit power comes into us, frees us from our brokenness, and then it allows us to do that last thing there, which is grow into God's design. And then we can also go and let others know about their brokenness. See, this is a tool. It's a very simple tool. You can use, you can learn. But listen, you'll never know God's power. You have something to share. You never know God's power until you actually step out and share it. Jesus and Peter, right? Peter was on the boat and he saw Jesus walking on the water. Is it humanly possible for a person to walk on water? No, it is not. But Peter wanted to test that. You never know if you walk on water until you actually step out of the boat. And we got to step out of the boat and we have to share the gospel with others. And so how about you? What is the bread and the fish that God has given you? And who are the people that you are going to share with? When people share a problem or a concern, how do you transition? And let me give you this statement here. You can write down and then we'll close with this. I believe there's a transition statement right before that whole thing there, John, where it talks about a problem or a concern. And so how do we go from an everyday conversation to a gospel conversation, right? Me and my friend, we're talking about movies, we're talking about music, and we start talking. If someone shares a problem about brokenness, this is how it works. Well, I could say something like this. You know, I haven't been through that before, but I have had my share of struggles. Can I share with you something that's really helped me? And if they say yes, guess now what I get to do? They've given me permission now to share the gospel with them. I haven't had that same problem, but I have had my share of struggles. Can I share something with you that really helped? Or maybe, like some of you, I was talking with the men earlier, and man, those men in the Les Walker class, man, they've been through all kinds of stuff, man, and they got a wealth of experience. They could talk to almost anybody in our city, and they could identify with anyone because they've been through some things. You have something to share. And I talked with one of our men. He's been through health crisis after health crisis. He's been through war. He's been through the loss of family members. He's been through all kinds of things. Man, he has something to share. And he could change that something. He could say, you know what? I have been through something like that. Can I share with you what's really helped me? And see, it's about sharing your story and God's story. Amen. Let's pray together. And then our worship team is going to come and lead us in our response song. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like for you to consider what God is calling you to do. I'd like for you to consider how the something that God has placed inside of you that's worth sharing, and that you would simply put it in God's hands and you would trust him to see it multiplied as these five loaves and two fishes were multiplied to feed multiple thousands. The scripture says 5,000, but that was just the men. There were women and children present. They're close to 8,000 to 10,000 people. How could that ever be possible that five loaves and two fish could be multiplied? Because God was in it. Because little is much when God is in it. We have something to share, but I must give it to him. What are you thinking in your heart there as you sit? Do you realize you have something to share? Maybe you're like, Pastor, I don't have something to share. Maybe you don't have a relationship with God. You don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't have the experience of forgiveness. You don't actually have a story to tell of how God has rescued you. That we'd invite you to come to know Jesus. You could come up the aisle here after the service. You could check your connection card and say, I'd like to pray and receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I know I need to be reconciled to him. That may be your first step. Maybe your next step is identifying and praying for people who are far from God. Maybe for you, you already know people far from God, but you've got to take that step of faith. You've got to get out of the boat. You've got to take your five loaves and your two fish and lay them at the feet of Jesus. Say, Jesus, this is what I have. I don't feel like it's much, but Jesus, I trust you to use it. But if you sit there holding on to the goodness that God has gave you, you'll never experience the blessing and the multiplication that God wants to do. Boy, what a sad state that will be to miss out on that. As you see others sharing, As we enter eternity and sitting around heaven and the stories are told and the crowns are given and then we lay down our crowns at the feet of Jesus and, oh, man, I don't want to enter eternity. I want to hear Jesus say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So, Father, give us courage now. Not courage in ourselves, but courage in who you are. Great confidence that, God, you could use little old me to change someone's life. Father, we lift you up in Jesus' name. Amen.